apathy. To God we now repent for the years of work we might have done that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
Is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay, the price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score, don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will
even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. That old wheel has rolled around. It's Saturday morning once again. And it's August 11th, 2018, and we welcome you, the remnant, here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, coming to you live this Saturday morning again, August 11th. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim, from over in beautiful Nebraska. How are you this morning, Tim?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. Glad to be here.
Amen. And we do welcome you, the remnant. And, of course, we welcome you, the Holy Spirit, because we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have to remember in this day and time that we're in that the Word is true. And when two or more are gathered in His name, well, if you're going to believe His Word, you can believe that He is there also. And we forget that sometimes. But we do gather in the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. We welcome you as well. Well, Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer, we'll open up the phone lines and kind of go from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us on this coffee this morning, Father. We pray that you guide us in the direction that we are to go. We pray, Father, for the remnant across this land, and we recognize that we're living in different times, Father. We pray that you tend to their each and every needs, Father. We pray for your people and ask that you just shine your face down upon them. We pray and we cry out to you, Jesus, save us. Save us from the hands of our enemies, those that make an uproar against us, those that come against us in many ways, shapes, and forms. I pray, Father, that you rebuke the devourer, that you deal with that devourer as you see fit, Father. I pray, Father, as there is those that come to rage war against your people, Father, that they rage war against your church, Father, and they come to do nothing more than to steal, to kill, to destroy. They are devourers, Father, and I pray that you deal with them as you see fit. We lift them up to you, and we ask for your hands to be upon them, Father. We pray that you send them to that pit of destruction, Father, that pit that they dig for us, Father. We pray that you send them directly to the bottom of that pit. Those fiery darts that they send against us, Father, I pray that you turn them around and send them back due to sender, Father. We pray, Father, that you just do a mighty work in this land. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. And a beautiful morning here. We've had a fantastic week here at the beautiful weather-wise here at the Radio Ranch, and getting some hay cut, and just the rain's kind of held out. We've been having rain every few days through this summer, and I've heard Texas has been kind of in the same boat. Got some reports out of there that the hay and the cattle are doing well down there. And Tim, I'll turn it over to you. We'll get an update from you this morning, if that's all right.
Oh yeah, it's been the same way here. I mean, every few days we get a little rain. Sometimes not a lot, but the temperatures are moderate for this time of the year, and the hay's doing good. And I know that a lot of the guys here are really tickled, at least locally, for running their dry land corn versus their irrigated, just on account of the fact that they're going to clean up on dry land corn if they don't get hailed out or blown down, because it's basically irrigated corn this year.
Sure. So,
I know I was talking to a buddy the other day, and he said, well, the best news was is that he hasn't had to run his pivots hard at all this summer. And he said, given the fact that prices are somewhat down, he thought that was really the Lord looking after him, because it's going to make the difference between making some money and breaking even, on not having to do all the maintenance and upkeep and the expense of operating the pivots for irrigation. So,
great.
God equals things out for him, and it's been a decent summer here. I mean, the wettest one I can remember for 25-30 years anyways.
Wow. Hey, let me ask you, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but how's your garden going?
It's one of those, it's kind of different. We've talked to several people around the area. The root crops are doing really good this year, but the above crops are really retarded. I don't know. It's kind of been a strange year. We haven't, and they're fine, but it just seems like it's not. We feel like we're about a month behind on everything. So, and we actually got everything set out this year earlier than normal. So,
sure.
That's the kind of the way it was for everybody, though. Everybody that I talked to from having gardens, I mean, everybody from basically from coast to coast. I talked to some people down south, and people in Michigan, and people in Washington State, and people in Oregon, and everybody for some reason had difficulties with crops. They just didn't take off the way that they were, that they should have. And you're talking about people that were in different parts of the country, and it was really interesting because the soil analysis, they came back and they showed that everybody was deficient in iron, boron. The calcium wasn't being absorbed by the plants in the proper way. It was really interesting to see how you got such a wide variety area, different soils, different types of soils. different gardening practices and how so much we had so much similarities across the country.
You know, Jason, I got that same report out of Texas that the gardens normally just do great, tomatoes and yeah, above ground crops, and they flowered and looked great, but produced no fruit. Had that report from two different people in Texas, and it made me think. I know you've mentioned that before about the gardens not coming, not providing, and hadn't had a chance to talk with Brother Tim about that. I know, Tim, you guys usually have just a talk about a kitchen garden plus, just a beautiful garden out there for,
we have some things that are doing all right and some that aren't, you know, but it's just one of those things. I think that, of course, there's cycles involved in that too, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's something there, and I don't know what plays into it. It's like Jason said, him and I talked about that too, and it's like, and a lot of times in a lot of years, I've noticed that maybe Jason's garden or, you know, if you're, say, your beans aren't doing well, theirs are, you know, and there's those sort of things that go on. And but this year, it kind of seems across the board to be the same. I mean, everybody's kind of struggling with some of those things. So,
I'll tell you one thing our garden has been doing fantastic on is cucumbers. We've been canning, making pickles.
Amen.
Every 2 or 3 days, we've been canning like crazy at night, and it's it's just amazing because you go back there and it's like, oh, we must have missed some, and it's like, no, we didn't miss any, and you go back there and 2 days later, it's time to harvest again.
Yeah. Yeah. What a blessing.
Yeah, we've been
for sure.
We've been putting in a lot of pickles too. The girls have really been running them, and they're beautiful pickles. So, but
awesome,
yeah.
Well, good. And you know, you mentioned the corn that doesn't get the hail damage. Boy, Colorado, the little agricultural paper that comes out the fence post, they've had several articles in it this summer about the hail damage, and had one. I don't think I have it back here in the office, but had one. Just this last week, severe hail damage down there, Greeley and east and south, and that is major agricultural areas, and been some severe impacts there. Jason, you've talked about some of the hail storms that have rolled through LaPorte and real close to the church, and how you guys prayed and moved that around. We had that here just Sunday was a week ago, so 2 weeks ago. And after church, we were home and looking, and you could see, and we got just the edge of it. Just we got a little hail in the yard, little pea size, and got a few that were closer to golf, maybe ping pong ball size, but no damage on the vehicles or roofs or anything like that. I've talked to my neighbors, neighbor right up the road, about a mile up the road, top of the hill, had his car damaged. Had another neighbor up the road a mile and about a quarter mile down the road, just devastated. It all but tore his roof on his barn, just dinged it all up bad. Tore up his roof on his house, busted skylights. His daughter lives next door, tore their roof up. $7,000 worth of damage to his truck. And this is a mile and a half away from the ranch. Just devastated it. His neighbor across the street, every window in the guy's pickup truck smashed out. Not just smashed, but smashed out, shattered, and busted out. And that's kind of odd here in the Laramie area. We get hail, we get rain. You know, we had a tornado earlier this year. Actually have had three tornadoes in this Laramie Valley this year. Very odd, very different weather for summertime. In this hail, you know, I can remember several years ago when Brother Rich was here, that we had a report of hail, and we moved some vehicles into the barns just in case. And the hail did not come. It was just reports. And so it's not a very common thing to have that. Cheyenne has been hammered. They're going to have to change the name of Cheyenne to Hail City. They have been hammered. Tornadoes and hail this year. Was over there earlier this week and driving by and saw, just in driving through town, saw several trucks that just had been, looked like you were down in Greeley, the way some of their hail-damaged cars look. And so I don't know if that's what's figuring in on these gardens, if it is all tied together and kind of cyclic like you mentioned, Tim, or what. But we have just seen some very unseasonably weather that it, you know, first time I've seen it in 17 years. Talking with some of the old timers, they don't recall seeing this kind of hail. In the last 40 years.
I think that we've seen all this climate change stuff going on, and they're doing all this aerial spraying and those sorts of things, and they have this illusion that they can control the weather, and that's all it is. It's an illusion, because our God and Heavenly Father controls it.
Amen.
And you know, in the flick of a finger, he can do whatever he wants, and he will. And I think that when you pray and ask it not to rain, it doesn't rain. When you ask God to protect you and move that tornado away from your place, or that hail away, it's done. I mean, that's the control of the weather, and that's not you controlling the weather. That's you asking the man who has control of the weather to protect and take care of you, and that's
right.
Him honoring your request. And I think a lot of those things are going on, but there's repercussions from a lot of that kind of stuff and I don't know whether that plays into it or not, but it's definitely something to think about.
Amen. Amen. And Jason and I were talking right before, kind of ties in with this, how a California jury has ruled against Roundup, against Monsanto, which owns it, and of course the active ingredient, glyphosate. Is that how you say it? Glyphosate, I think that's how you pronounce it. And had a groundskeeper at a school district. Of course, they, for 40 years, they say, oh, well, we've had a 40-year safe history of safe and continuous use as a vital, effective, and safe tool for farmers and others, and that's the Roundup. And so for 40 years, we've been spraying this stuff, and so this 42-year-old groundskeeper is spraying it. And of course, he says, it's windy, and I'm getting it in my face and all over, and it caused cancer, and the jury agreed to that and has ruled against it. Of course, Monsanto is going to fight it, and they've had a very good career of fighting that. Have they, Jason? I thought you reported on it one time. Have they ever lost a case? I don't think they lose cases like this. I think this is the first time this has happened, isn't it?
Yeah, to a degree, they've lost some cases overseas. This is the first one that I know that they've had a cancer case that they've won actually in the United States. And they came out right away and said, "Well, we're appealing it." We said we have over 800 studies that they show that glycophosphates does not cause cancer and did not cause cancer. And the jury, they handed it down. They handed their verdict down and said, "Nope, you're going to pay." So.
Right. And they, I did see that, the World Health Organization.
I mean, they don't care who they pay off. They'll pay off anybody. They'll buy off anybody. They'll threaten anybody. They'll do, in the past, they've done whatever it's taken to not lose a case,
right.
No matter how much money it costs. So, I mean, they play dirty. So, but, I think this is an answer to prayer. And I think this is one of those things that, because if this goes through, they're going to lose a lot of other cases.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping
that
this is ground. And I mean, this is something that we really need to keep in prayer, because this can be just that tip of that iceberg, where that thing could be a sinking ship and could be going down fast. And that's what a lot of people have been praying for a long time.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, when you see that, you see that stuff in every single, you see Roundup in every single food item and all the water items all the way across the United States. You can test for it anywhere, and it's everywhere. It's persistent, and there've been a lot of, there's a lot of studies that show that there's damages on it, and they just look at those fines as, like Jason said, like a cost of doing business. I mean, it's like $100 million, no big deal. We'll pay you out of court, shut up, you know. I mean,
right.
It's ungodly and unjust.
Yep. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to follow here from Mr. Johnson. He's elderly now, he's or older, and dying of cancer, basically. And so they award him $289 million, and so... we'll see what happens with this. And agreed, it is certainly something to keep in prayer. And folks, we'd recommend you, you know, don't use that. You have your gardens and you have your things, but there's other ways you can do it. You know, there are many more natural ways of pest control and weed control than Roundup. And my understanding is they're still, I mean, they have seed and stuff that they call it Roundup Ready. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That's been around for a long time. A lot of farmers, that's all they use.
And it's just already,
I mean, that's pretty much the front of the mill. What about just about anything is anymore?
So it's the Roundup is, well, just they, genetically in the seed, huh?
Yeah, it's genetically modified. And then they go in. I mean, they can go in, they can spray Roundup ahead of time. Like the farmers around here, is what they'll do is they'll till the ground. They'll wait till the weeds start coming up. They'll spray Roundup on it, or they'll go ahead and plant, and then they can spray Roundup on it. And the Roundup, the seeds are all genetically modified where they can withstand the Roundup. And so whatever you're planting, whether it's corn or soybeans or wheat, whatever it is, it comes up, and everything else dies.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the other.
Go ahead,
Jason.
No, you're.
Well, the other part of that.
It's in there, and it's like, you know, there's a lot of people that say that if you start testing for glyphosate, you can go into a grocery store and it's in everything. There's nothing that you can test that doesn't have those glyphosate in it. I don't know if that's fairly true or not, but it doesn't really surprise me either.
Wow.
Well, and it gets into the water table, and then it simply doesn't break down. And the other part of that racket with the Roundup Ready seeds is, you have to sign a contract when you buy that seed from those seed companies that say you only purchase seeds from them. You can't hold back any of your seed and replant. And if you're caught doing that, there's huge fines, and they can sue you, and have. I mean, there's cases all across the land where they've done that. And, of course, now the problem's been that these modified seeds are interbreeding or pollinating with non-Roundup Ready seeds out there. And farmers who opted out or want to do organic or want to do non-GMO seeds, They're cross-pollinating, and of course then that seed tests positive for Roundup Ready gene traits, and they're still getting sued, even though they never, you know, it's like, well, you're stealing our technology. So they've made God's
terminology and what they're doing with it is called, it's a violation of copyright. And if you grow something and let it go to seed with that, then they're considered in it copyright infringement.
Yeah, theft.
Wow.
So, what a racket. Mm-mm-mm. And there's farmers who've lost their entire, you know, farm as a result of that. I mean, $200 million may just be the cost of doing business to them when they get caught. But, you know, if they smack a farmer with that kind of thing unjustly, why, that may be generations worth of work that just went down the drain there.
Sure. Wow. Well, folks, we do have the phone lines open this morning. It is Saturday, August 11th, 2018, and if you'd like to call in, 307-745-5913. Kind of a an agricultural talk this morning about gardens and Roundup, and I know that you know, I've seen, especially some of the organic farmers. You see some of the how they, you know, they'll put signs up and, hey, no spraying here, because I guess even the county and our county weed and pest is out spraying in the ditches and you know, for noxious weeds, and I'm sure that's what they're using. That would be my guess. Maybe they have something that's more I don't know, plant specific, but my guess would be they're out, you know, they're out on their four wheelers with their little tanks on it and tooling up and down the bar ditches and the side roads and spraying the what they what they call noxious weeds. And you don't see them in you know, you don't see them with any protective gear, maybe a mask, and that's about it. Well, guys, let's try the phones. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Good morning. Thanks for calling. Well, the line was ringing, but nobody was there. Well, again, folks, the number 307-745-5913. I would not suggest you go to Chicago. You might have better luck in Fallujah. Again, 70-plus shooting victims last weekend. Over 70. And the people, they just get shot, and they don't they certainly don't cooperate with the police on who shot them. You know, I think there were 11 deaths just last weekend, and 70 plus shootings. Lawlessness. Let's try this caller again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning. Joe here.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
I guess I was cut off or something. Like I had called before, or maybe it was the person before me. But anyway, you're loud and clear now. I hope you can hear me.
Yes. Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. You're breaking up, Richard. I don't know why, but I hope I'm making it in there okay.
Yeah, you sound good here, Joe.
Okay. Hey, guys. Yeah,
sounds great.
I ran into something that might be of interest to you. A few years ago, I was working putting up some parging on this lady's side of this lady's house. The old stuff was falling off, and it was in the early spring that I started that job, and it ran over into summertime. And her house is right; it's on a lake. And on the other side of the house is the road, and across the road was a golf course. And I didn't know it, but her house and the one of the houses next to her is right in the way of one of those, what do you call that, fairway? And the
sure.
The hole, the green where the hole is at. And a lot of those crazy golfers can't play golf, so half of the balls that usually end up either in her yard or in the lake. And she told me that was the case, and she showed me these egg crates, these egg cartons. She collects the golf balls and sells them back to the golfers at a cut rate. But anyway, I got the idea of put it because in the summertime I didn't want my truck getting pelted, so I parked the truck underneath one of the largest trees I could find, and I took a moving blanket and covered my windshield and part of my hood in my truck, and sheltered it that way. So that might be a pretty good way to at least partially alleviate the damage caused by large hailstones.
There's people do a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot more greenhouses that are, you know, with partial coverings, you know, for that. And yeah, we've always, if we know hail's coming, we've tried to park the vehicle in the barn. But they had, you know, what they had up there, I think the people were. you know, they were just in the house, and it came in pretty much unannounced. I mean, there was a storm warning or, you know, a severe weather warning, and that was it. That was all that came over the phones or whatever, and then, you know, here comes the hail. And the neighbor, I mean, it was his house, the roof just smashed. His daughter's house next door, roof smashed. His barn, pretty good-sized barn, big old horse and hay barn. And you can go inside and look up at the roof and just see the dents from this golf ball and tennis ball size hail. And no, it's
I've not ever witnessed that size hail.
Yeah, it's
but
been.
But I have seen you know, quarter size and stuff coming down briefly. We have summertime. It's really stormy up here. We get a lake effect weather coming from Canada in the Great Lakes area. And the wind is more dangerous to us than the hail, and we actually get pretty fair tornadic activity. Although the tornadoes are not that destructive, they do touch down at times. But I wanted to make a comment on gardening, since it's one of my passions to grow vegetables and things. This year, I was fortunate, and it's never happened to me before, but I've got dozens of volunteer tomato plants in the garden where I was going to plant kale. So I just let it be, and these little seedlings, you could tell they were volunteer tomatoes because they all came up in clumps. And I figured out that was where all of the previous season's green tomatoes that were on the vines had laid, and the tomatoes actually ripened, and I wasn't aware of it. And so I've got dozens of cherry tomatoes in my garden, and so rather than stake them or put cages around them, I just let the weeds grow. And the weeds hold the tomato plants up. All that's really necessary is to deadhead the weeds so they don't form seeds, and throw that in the fire, you know, place where you have your fire or whatnot. We're allowed to burn up here.
Sure.
But, hey, I didn't have to start any tomatoes, and I also have a nice big summer squash that came up, too, as well as a cucumber. And I also was able to salvage about 8 red Pontiac potato plants that came up too. So my garden is full, and I didn't plant a seed or anything.
Praise
so
the Lord.
That's pretty interesting. Never happened like that before. Awesome. I've had volunteer potatoes, but that's about it.
That must mean you have some pretty good seeds that'll produce plants that'll go back to seed and reproduce again.
Well, yeah, they're non-hybrid. They're what they call heirloom quality.
Yeah, that's awesome. So. That is awesome.
Okay.
All right, Joe.
You guys have a good one, man.
Hey, you too.
And,
God
bless you.
Thanks for the call, and have a blessed weekend.
Okay, thank
All right.
you. Bye.
Going back to talking about hail, this last week, Cheyenne Mountain Zoo down in Colorado Springs, they got hit. It was quite devastating down there. They had 5 animals die at the zoo from hail. They got hit by baseball-sized hail. Mm. They said that there was hundreds of cars in the parking lot, close to 300, I believe, that got completely damaged, completely totaled. Killed 5 animals, injured a lot of them, but you're talking about baseball size hail. I mean, that is
wild.
That's like a biblical proportionate hail storm.
It is.
Hailstone.
It is.
I remember one time when I was probably around 7 or 8 years old. We lived up in Nebraska, and we had a hailstorm that came through, and woke up in the middle of the night, and my dad was running down the hallway with me. Everybody else had gotten to the basement. I was sleeping, and he had grabbed me, and we're going down the hallway, and glasses breaking just all over the place. I mean, it sounded like war. The hail was so big; it was baseball size. baseball, a lot of baseball size, a lot of golf ball size, but it was going right through the shingles, right through the sheeting, all the way through the roofs, into the house, and going through the sheetrock. And it was, I mean, talk about just complete destruction. There was houses that were completely totaled from top to bottom when it when that hailstorm hit, and it went through and it hit that town that we were in, and it. There was house. You could drive down the street, and there was house after house after house. With every window in the house broke out.
Yeah.
And you know, it's they said that that was a once in a 50-year hail. You know, I think this one. I don't think Colorado Springs has ever seen a hailstorm like this. And we've seen hailstorms that are you know, well, this year Northern Colorado got hit four times with hailstorms.
Yeah.
Normally, we don't get hit, you know, once every couple of years, you get maybe a little bit of small pea-sized hail, and
right.
That's about it. So it just shows you that times are changing, you know.
Yeah, that's the same way here. Very, very rare that we get hail. There's been, you know, sometimes years you go and you don't get it. And then, like you said, yeah, you get little pea-sized or maybe even marble-sized, you know, that might cover the ground and... It looks kind of neat sometimes when you got all that green grass, and then it's you know, it kind of looks like snow out there. But it's rare when we've had damage here. And this last hailstorm two Sundays ago killed geese over at Talbot's over across the highway, and it very different, type of weather. Things we haven't seen before. And, you know, we've talked about that over the last several months. You know, we are seeing things in our lifetime that, you know, I think even our parents didn't see in their lifetime. Hail like this. How about the volcano over in Hawaii that's still spitting out lava, growing the island? You know, we haven't seen things like that. The nuclear Fukushima over in Japan, still pouring out radiation. They're still pumping seawater in it, and it's still coming out and just irradiating the ocean. These fires in California, record-setting fires again. And, you know, it wasn't, 10, 12 years ago, Pastor did several messages on the fires burning in California, because at that time, the same thing was happening. They were setting records. Record fires, burning hotter, burning larger, burning longer, 10, 12 years ago. And they set new records then. We're setting new records now in acres burning. And so we are seeing things that, you know, it's not just the same old. Today is not just going to be a repeat of yesterday. That's pretty evident. And we need to be aware of that. Remnant, you need to be aware of that. Things are changing. You know, you even look at, on a more positive note, you look at, there were some economic numbers here. I'll see if I can find it. Let's take this caller and we'll get back to that. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello?
Hey, good morning. Got to turn your radio off.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to do it here quick. I'll call you back.
All right. Yeah, you got to turn that radio down, or it gets real bad real quick. But I thought I had a news article here that talked about the latest economic numbers. We're looking matching 40-year records. Don't know if I have it here. Yeah, this was it. Jobless claims setting new 40-year records on the bottom end. 48-year lows set back in May of this year, and matching that record now. So that's a positive. Let's try the caller again. Hey, good morning again. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard and Jason and Tim. This is Ken from Wisconsin. I think I've got it all figured out. The fires in California, the shootings in Chicago, and the heat wave and the hail are all Trump's fault. You know, it just makes sense because everybody is so unhappy that he got elected, they have to go out and shoot somebody or start a fire. So I don't know how good that theory is, but I'm going to vote for him anyway. So
I can understand that.
I just thought
that.
I'd throw that up at you and
sure.
To run with it, see if you can figure out a better excuse for all this going on.
Hey, we appreciate that.
All right, I'll let you guys have the mic back.
All right, have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, it sure seems, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sure seems like the economy is improving. I know here in Laramie, jobless, if you need a job, let me tell you something. The motorcycle shop is hiring for a counter clerk. The gas station up here is hiring for a counter clerk, and they pay pretty decent. The butcher, all his help is going back to school, so he's looking for some work. There's three renovations going on in town, like restaurant renovations. I think we're getting a Freddy's. Saw that they're advertising online for Freddy's in Laramie. And that's that's kind of a pretty big thing for Laramie coming in. So they're advertising for people. I know of two small businesses in town that need help. One's manufacturing and one is just retail. And that's just here in Laramie, 30,000 people town. It just is different, and it certainly seems a little better. Now it's not a time to kick back and relax and stop praying, Jason. Like you mentioned, now's the time, especially like with this Monsanto and Roundup ruling. It's not that they've ruled so good and that's it. No, maybe there's a positive ruling and that needs to be motivation for God's people to be praying about that, to be thinking about that, to be on that bandwagon, if you say, or if you think about it that way, and continue on, continue lifting it up to God, continue praying for victory in that. In the same way, I think I see that. I that's my thought anyway. With this economy, more people working, less people on food stamps. It's a more positive. It's more positivity. You should generate a better mood, people thinking a little bit more instead of just being downtrodden and just having to work and looking for jobs and being on the government handout and on the government dole. That you get a little better times, people can do a little better, and they think about other things. They think about doing better. We're hoping they're thinking about reading their Bible. That's why we put out this Bible reading plan, and we continue. Boy, I'm gonna share some statistics tomorrow. It is really poor. Surveys, Christian surveys show the number of people that read their Bible, and or at least that say that they do, and it's pretty bad. It's a very low percentage. And we need to change that. That needs to change. We have an opportunity. We've heard it. I've seen it. We've heard it from Jonathan from the pulpit. We've seen it in newsletter articles. I had two different newspaper articles sent in from people that said the same thing about, hey, this is a second chance. It really is. It's an additional opportunity for the true followers of Jesus Christ in this country to step up to the plate. To be doers of the word, and it sure seems like it might be more receptive out there to people. There's certainly enough filth that's out there, and I think that the people that push these transgender drag queen story hours in libraries and public schools. And this filth that's being promoted, the enemy thinks that they're recruiting. When they come out with a new lesbian Jewish Batwoman in their comics and in their movies, and that they're going to recruit more. But I think that what they're truly doing is widening the gap and making that line between right and wrong, left and right, deeper and deeper and wider and more distinct. And I think people are getting into a frame of mind to see that, and to see that that's wrong. That's wrong. And Remnant, we need to make sure that we are there, not just this ministry, but that we as a collective, as true followers of Jesus Christ, when we, you know, when we hear these topics come up in the coffee shop or in the checkout line or you know, at the tractor store or whatever it may be, that we're able to give that defense of the gospel, as the Bible says, that we're able to, you know, to offer some of the good news. And not just, well, it's getting worse and it's gonna get worse. It may and it will for some, but it's getting better for others. Anyway, that's my rant.
Yeah, I had somebody texted me here, and they or sent me an email, and they said that I should tell them about. I gave out a recipe a while back on the radio, and it worked fantastic. And I had several people that tried it, and it worked out really good. But and I'm not sure the exact proportions, but it was a gallon of white vinegar to I think it was a cup of just iodized white regular salt and a teaspoon of dish soap, and that's what we've been using on our weeds in our garden, because a lot of people that have been trying to get away from, using any of the glycophosphates, anything like that, it seems like it's in just about every one of your weed killers that you can get. I was trying a weed burner for a long time, and that was just very inconvenient. It was a pain in the butt, you know. But, you know, when you try to keep them, sure, weeds out of your driveway and along your fences and stuff like that, is vinegar and salt with a little bit of soap. The soap just helps it stick to the plants a little bit better, so it doesn't run off. So you don't need to add a lot of it. And the vinegar is what's really doing most of the work. The salt just seems to give it a boost. We tried it without the salt, and then we tried it with the salt, and the salt does work a lot better. It makes it work faster. But I'll tell you what, it is, it's amazing what that does to weeds. You just mix it up, put it in a weed sprayer. Now, if you're using the salt, you want to rinse it really good at the end of the day when you're done. If you don't use the salt, the vinegar doesn't seem to make anything corrode, you know, too fast. I've left it in there for several weeks without having to do anything. But, you know, you talk about inexpensive. It's really inexpensive. It's actually cheaper than buying Roundup off the shelf. And it does just as good a job. I know that there's several people down here that started doing that. Several people that have emailed me and I've talked to, and they've been doing that as well. And, you know, talk about there's a way. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. And there is definitely some alternatives to getting away from some of these chemicals that that people have been using for a long time. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that I talk to that we talk about the glycophosphates and the Roundup, and it's like, well, you have to use Roundup. I mean, they can't right. see any way around not using Roundup on their driveways or on their sidewalks or, you know, in their flower beds or anything like that. And, yeah. You know, there's alternatives. You just got to look for them and try them. And I'll tell you what, this one works really, really good, and I've been really happy with it. So I did want to throw that out there again.
So vinegar, a little bit of salt, and a little bit of dish soap.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, a gallon of vinegar, a cup of salt, and a tablespoon of dish soap, and it just works phenomenal.
Wow. Well, I'll sure try that. I've got some vinegar, and I've got a few weeds coming up right by the front step that I pulled them, and they just have some, I guess they've got some deep roots and have kind of branched out. Because you're pulling them, and then it's like your cucumbers. You know, you come back the next day, and, oh, I guess I missed one. It just popped up, and so I'll sure try that.
I know, speaking about potatoes, Joe was saying he had potatoes, and I know some of the other guys do, and we've had very good luck with potato bugs. You got potatoes, potato bugs, you know, and we've had the, you know, 7 was a standby for years and years and years on that kind of stuff. But it quit working a long time ago, and so we started doing research and found that if you would get some diatomaceous earth and just go to work with that, the mosquito bugs are gone. So, and diatomaceous earth is another one of those. It's just earth. But it works. So, and it's very affordable. I mean, compared to the price on some of the pesticides, it's cheap. So, and it isn't even any trouble to apply. And there's a lot of options out there that are available to make sure that you don't have to pay that. And I think we go through that in the health talks a lot of times. You know, the expensive, this chemical soup that they create that they want you to buy, there's such a premium price on it, and it has side effects beyond anything we can understand. And why do you want to pay for your own demise? And God's given us ways to. It still requires work. It still requires effort, but it works.
Yep. You know, the thought occurs to me, the scripture that says, what is it? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. So, something like that. I don't have my Bible open to that, but something along those lines. And that we have these, there are these natural alternatives to your weeds and your pests in the garden. And there are these natural alternatives to when you have health issues. Whether it's prostate problems or blood pressure or eyesight or whatever, there are things you can do, but you have to look for them. You have to work. You have to kind of put forth the effort, and the result is usually, what is it? Commensurate, or I'm not sure if that's the right word, but you get what you put in. You get out of it what you put into it. We see that in with your efforts, and it's like that with the word as well. We've read the word, we've read it. Well, you know what? When you read it again, when you spend time with the word, and I would encourage, as we're wrapping up this morning, folks, Remnant, I would encourage you to do that. To set your coffee alarm, set your coffee pot for 10 minutes early. And get up a little early and develop that habit of starting your day in the Word. You don't have to read through a whole chapter. You don't have to read through but open it up, read it, get that daily bread first thing in the morning. Start a better habit, a better routine. Maybe you haven't been reading the Bible. You need to, because the Bible is all but being banned. Saw a news report out in California this billboard had been put up, and a church group was having a fairly big church group, I think it was a Harvest Church, was having a big meeting, and they just had not even a picture, but just like a caricature of the pastor, and he's holding a microphone in one hand and holding a book up in the other, and it's the Bible, but it didn't say Bible. It was just here's a kind of a caricature of a man holding a microphone and a Bible, and it gave the date and time, and just that was so offensive to people. The billboard company took the billboard down, refunded the money to the church. Just the image of the Bible, folks. The lines are being drawn. The lines are being drawn, and if it's the world that you're gonna love, that you're going to just continue to, well, there's nothing you can do. That's just the way it is. Well, if that's how you're going to go with it, then so be it. But there is a better way. There is a better way. And we have to be grounded in His Word. Grounded in His Word. You know, we hear a lot about love. Going to talk about love tomorrow at church a little bit. But 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. But if we don't read that, if you only have 3% or 20% of the so-called Christians reading their word, then they're not going to understand what that you know, when they hear terms out in public and in society, because words change. So read your Bible, folks. Simple as that. Read it, apply it, delight in it. You know, put it in the Old Testament talks about write it, you know, on your heart, write it on your, you know, put reminders on your hands about it, write it on the, on your doorpost, on your lintel, on the gates, you know, have His word, His law, His truth everywhere. And that's how it's supposed to be. And when we do that, we're blessed, and our enemy understands that. And that's why they can't even stand to see a billboard with a man holding what might be a Bible. No, that's offensive to them. We can't have that, says the enemy. So, well, as for me and my house, we will read the Word. We will serve the Lord. Simple as that. Well, guys, thanks so much again for tuning in and for being with us. And great comments. Appreciate the calls. Remnant, we thank you for joining us. We thank you for your support, that your tithes and your offerings. You support us. You allow us to do these broadcasts in the morning. And 24 hours a day, the broadcasts are going out. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of His word, may not be politically correct, but it is biblically correct. And it goes out because of your support. And so we thank you for that. Our address, if you'd like to support us, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535. And we are on the web at scripturesforamerica.org. You can also hit our network website, sfawbn.com. We do encourage you. We ask you to come to church with us in the morning. We'll be there starting at 8:30 in the morning, 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 for you California folks, West Coast. So join us. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. We'll have a live message for you. We'll have communion. It'll let you gather with the saints without leaving your home if you can do that on the computer. So guys, well, thanks so much, and hey, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make 'em health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, head 'em off. Move 'em out, head 'em off, snake high. Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out. Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.